The Crude Life with host Jason Spiess.
I never let the Joker out my sight. Never went broke on an all or nothing. Never made a bet so out of line till I met you and I hit the ground running. And I must say, I've never seen so much weakness in one place. It was a 20-inch bicep with no strength, cause you've been wrapping it around all the wrong things.
Welcome to the Crude Life Week in Review. My name is Jason Spiess. Thank you folks for tuning in and joining the conversation here today. Fabulous show in store for you. We go all over the North American continent today. We start in Williston, North Dakota.
Now, on the battery side of it, if we had an electric vehicle, that most of the electric trucks right now, Jason and Kenley, they're going to be in the 400 to 600 kilowatt hour range. So recently Tesla released that they have their long range truck, class 8 truck, will have a 1000 kilowatt hour range or one megawatt hour. So it's 1000 kilowatt hour pack. And interestingly enough, even in the last 3 years, the battery technology has allowed us to have reductions in weight there, but they will still most likely have over 10,000 pounds of batteries. So it's quite a bit higher than fuel. And, there's less energy density in batteries than fuel. So there's kind of a downfall there, but there's so many other really neat aspects of it. But yes, the weight is kind of a concern, especially even with EV vehicles. You know, most electric vehicle cars they could be in the 40 to 100 kilowatt hour range. And the battery packs take up a pretty substantial amount of weight on a 4,000 pound car.
You mentioned the gas, and of course, my mind went right away to liquid natural gas. Is liquid natural gas, is that heavier for a vehicle? Is that lighter? Is that an option? I know there's been some push in terms of whether it be Cummins or Swift Transportation to get more natural gas involved. Of course, the railway has got natural gas investments, as well as a lot of fleet vehicles from buses, etc. Is there any sort of natural gas tie-in or liquid natural gas tie-in with this, or does that not work for this hybrid?
Jason, I like the idea, but I think it's a great idea. You know, right now, and I don't know, we probably could leave this for a different session, but I honestly believe it'd be wise to utilize some. So the EVolution hybrid that we're working on right now, it's a class 8 truck. We want to have somewhere over 300 mile range. We're shooting for at least 400 miles on all electric, pulling 80,000 pounds with close to 1,000 mile range or more with our smaller range extension device. And the range extender would be running a DC generator. So I think that when we look at that aspect of it, the range extender device actually could be a lot of different things. It could be an internal combustion engine that runs on diesel, because diesel has a great infrastructure. But right now we're walking into a period where we could have a diesel shortage. So I think it'd be wise to have some type of range extension device that could run on multiple fuels, so compressed natural gas or liquid propane gas, kerosene, diesel, and there's drivetrains or prime movers, so to speak, that could run the generator as a range extension device that could run on multiple fuels like turbine engines. They're a lot less efficient, but they actually don't produce. They're very clean on the environment in that regard. They don't require any after-treatment devices, but they're hard on fuel consumption. But just to give you an idea, so I think compressed natural gas is a little over five pounds per gallon, and diesel would be around 8 pounds per gallon. So yes, it'd be lighter. And it's a great alternative. There's a really good network for compressed natural gas and liquid natural gas, and it's viable. They're around 5 to 6 pounds a gallon, so they weigh less. So yeah, you could reduce weight in that regard for sure. And especially if you're running something like a turbine, they're not as fuel efficient. And I think that they would definitely use more fuel than a diesel engine. But right now we're shooting to use just a a smaller diesel engine that's very fuel efficient, like somewhere around the 3 gallon per hour range, not like 12 gallons per hour, like a 14 liter semi truck engine would have, or class eight truck engine would consume.
Levi Perkins is on the line with us, Perkins Electric Innovations, as well as Kenley Nebaker from Train ND Northwest. And folks, I know we're talking about some very small units of weight, but just to give you an example, when the aviation industry went from the little black box of regulations that they would carry on every single flight to the iPad, it took a number of years for them to do it, but every single flight, every pilot had to carry about a 50-pound box. It was this hard kind of metal fireproof box of regulations that you're required to have on every single flight. And eventually, when we got to the iPad generation, what they found was a small, significant fortune in savings because of the gas savings, because that 50-pound weight was noticeable at the end of the year. That's where the analytics come in. You know, nickels make dollars over time. Kenley, I wanted to talk to you about the supply chain and some of the hurdles that you foresee there, because that's where the nickels can become dollars, pro or con. We're talking about the weight being one of the hurdles to jump over. One of your hurdles, I imagine, is that supply chain. You've got, you know, you mentioned a grant, so you've got masters that need deadlines and milestones. Going into this project, what do you foresee being your biggest hurdle? Is it the supply chain or is it something else?
Yeah, I do. I do see the supply chain being the biggest hurdle. You know, Levi is doing a great job of keeping me updated on where the supply chain is for these components that we're needing. And it's looking, we're going to cross our fingers and knock on some wood here, but it's looking like things might line up in our favor a little bit. But definitely, if we're talking about the largest challenge or the biggest concern that we have as far as getting it done on time.
To listen to the full-length interview, check out the website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Don't go anywhere, folks. We have more exclusive interviews and content coming right around the corner. My name is Jason Spies, and this is The Crude Life Week in Review.
The Crude Life is sponsored in part by...
Who wants to save up to 90%? Well, you can at MyPillow right now for a limited time with their overstock sale. Get your holiday shopping done today with these incredible savings. Check it out. My slippers save $90 regularly, $139.98 on sale for $49.98 with the promo code Otis. Single bath towels save 50% with the promo code Otis. Women's sleep shirts regularly $59.98 on sale for $11.99 with the promo code Otis, plus much, much more with this huge clearance sale at MyPillow. Go to the website MyPillow.com, click on the radio specials, use the promo code Otis, or use the telephone 800-598-4268. That's 800-598-4268. Up to 90% off at MyPillow right now if you use the promo code Otis.
First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in Western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
The Crude Life is sponsored in part by...
It takes an industry to build a forest. Hey folks, Jason Spies with The Crude Life. Did you know about half the trees planted in the last 20 to 30 years have died within the first year? Lack of watering, transplant shock, special interest groups, poor growing conditions are just a few reasons it takes an industry to build a forest, and that is exactly what the industrial forest does. Sustainability sheds, critical pipeline systems are implemented to ensure the forest survives and absorbs carbon for decades to come. It takes an industry to build a forest. If you're interested in sustainable forests, growing industry jobs, check out theindustrialforest.com. That's theindustrialforest.com.
The Crude Life with host Jason Spiess.
There's a lot of people running their mouth that don't stay the night, never come through town. And some other people running about that don't take the time to suss you out. Still some of us...
Kids and Capitalism.
Welcome back to the Kids and Capitalism KidCast. I'm your multimedia kidtrepreneur, Otis. On today's KidCast, we talk with North Dakota Secretary of State Al Jagger.
Why should somebody file a company name with the state?
Well, first of all, it's a requirement of state law that anyone who operates a business under a name other than their own personal name needs to file it as a trade name with our office, and that's to disclose who they are. And so it's a requirement of law. And also, if they decide then to file as a corporation or a limited liability company or limited liability partnership, that name needs to be registered as well. So it's a requirement of state law.
Can kids have a job or a business, or do you have to be an adult?
Well, a kid is able to file a trade name, but however, because they're not yet 18 years of age, they do need an adult to co-sign. As far as any other type of business, because you don't become an adult for business reasons until you're 18, you have to wait till 18. But that doesn't stop somebody that is young from actually starting a business. They just need an adult to participate with them until they're 18.
What was your first job and how old were you?
My first job was I was a paper boy. I was in junior high school and I would have been about 11, 12 years old, and I did that for about 3 years.
Did you ever own your own business? What was it?
Yes, I did. I was a real estate broker in Fargo, North Dakota, and I had my own business for several years as a real estate broker. That's what I did.
Thank you for your time, sir.
You're welcome.
To listen to the entire KidCast with North Dakota Secretary of State Al Jagger, visit kidsandcapitalism.com.
How am I gonna bear me? I don't need nobody.
From the entire cast at Kids and Capitalism, thank you for listening to our podcast. I'm your multimedia kidtrepreneur, Otis, asking you to keep calm and capitalism on.
I don't need nobody to tell me if I remind them a child of shame. I don't need nobody to tell me if I'm a causing a scene. 'Cause I'm gonna be me. I'm gonna be me.
Kids and Capitalism. The Crude Life is sponsored in part by...
It takes an industry to build a forest. Hey folks, Jason Spiess with The Crude Life. Did you know about half the trees planted in the last 20 to 30 years have died within the first year? Lack of watering, transplant shock, special interest groups, poor growing conditions are just a few reasons it takes an industry to build a forest, and that is exactly what the industrial forest does. Sustainability sheds, critical pipeline systems are implemented to ensure the forest survives and absorbs carbon for decades to come. It takes an industry to build a forest. If you're interested in sustainable forests, growing industry jobs, check out theindustrialforest.com. That's theindustrialforest.com.
And I'm with the Kids and Capitalism KidCast. With me today is Chris Olson, co-owner of Treasure Island. And we have a few questions for him. Number one, what was your first job, Chris?
My first job was actually sorting papers for my dad here at Treasure Island. So back then, we were in West Acres down in the basement. And he would have so much business happening, so many deals going on, that he'd have all these different papers everywhere around his desk. And I wanted to hang out with Dad and help him somehow. And so he'd say, okay, Chris, go through and pick up all these different papers over here, and then I want you to alphabetize them. And so I would do that based on the name of whoever the person was that sent the invoice or the paper, and I'd get them into stacks, and then I'd put them into folders that had that person's name on it. So I could save him a lot of time and make sure that everything was organized and sorted by date. And so, yeah, that's how I got started. I think I was probably, maybe 6 or 7 years old back when when I was sorting papers for my dad.
Did you get paid doing it or not?
Yeah, he would give me, a couple bucks to go play some video games over at Pirate's Den, because we had Pirate's Den in the mall back then, and so you had the big arcade games where you could pop the quarters in and
up down left right A B start.
No, that was Nintendo.
No, that's Konami.
Yeah, that's Konami who made the game on the Nintendo system. So you're talking about Contra, up up down down left right left.
30 lives. Yeah, 30 lives.
Yeah, Contra. So that's a great game. I loved Contra. But yeah, I spent a lot of time playing video games. And that's how I got so smart.
How do you make money with gold?
So the way that we make money with gold, a lot of people think that we buy gold when it's a low price and then we sell it when it's a higher price. But that's not what we do. That would actually be called speculating. And we don't speculate at all. What we do is we purchase gold from refineries and mints and other people who have gold or silver that they want to sell. And when we do it, we simultaneously sell it in a paper market, and that's called a hedge. So if I buy gold for $1,300, if I buy 100 ounces of gold for $1,300, I'll simultaneously sell 100 ounces of gold for $1,300 on paper on a market like the COMEX. And then the price of gold, if it's going up or it's going down, I'm protected from that movement in price. And so where we make our money is what we call it's on the spread. So if we have, say, a 10-ounce gold bar and the price of gold is $1,300, I might be buying gold at $10 per ounce over the price of gold, and then I'm selling it for $20 over the price of gold. So I'm making $10 on a $13,000
profit.
Bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not a lot of profit. The gold industry is very, very competitive at our level because our major business is wholesale. So we distribute gold all over the country. And so we have a very, very thin profit margin, and it requires us to manage the risk and to hedge and use derivatives and different instruments. So it's pretty complicated. Not a lot of people know how to do it that way.
What is the coolest thing you've bought or sold or found from a metal detector at Treasure Island?
The coolest thing that we've bought or sold, man, it's been so many things.
Or found.
Well, my dad has found ancient Celtic gold coins. He found a Roman gold signet ring that was used by a Roman official to stamp a wax seal for the envelopes that he would send to other people. So my dad has a gold ring with a wax seal, or with a signet ring that is used for stamping. My dad has found a papal bulla in a ancient Roman battlefield in England, and so that was a big lead seal that the Pope would use to seal a communication that he was sending somewhere else to some other country. And so my dad found one of those buried in the ground.
It was lead?
Yeah, it's a lead seal. It was lead, yep.
Yeah, it's
painted
poisonous.
Lead. Yeah, lead is, yeah, you gotta watch out for lead. So he's found lots of cool stuff, and we buy all kinds of cool things. Right now we have two sterling silver elephants with real ivory tusks.
I want an elephant.
That they're probably 20 or 30 years old, but they're big silver elephants, and we're trying to figure out what to do with them because they're worth some money. But we always find cool stuff here. I can't even begin to remember how many cool things we've bought and sold.
Do you deal with Pokemon cards? Because they can be worth a lot of money.
To listen to the full-length interview, check out the website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Don't go anywhere, folks. We have more exclusive interviews and content coming right around the corner. My name is Jason Spies, and this is The Crude Life We Can Review. But keep singing my praise, singing I'm mad to you.
Have a question? Know an expert? Or just want your voice heard? Email studio at thecrudelife.com. The Crude Life is sponsored
in
part by...
Who wants to save up to 90%? Well, you can at MyPillow right now for a limited time with their overstock sale. Get your holiday shopping done today with these incredible savings. Check it out. My slippers save $90 regularly, $139.98 on sale for $49.98 with the promo code Otis. Single bath towels save 50% with the promo code Otis. Women's sleep shirts regularly $59.98 on sale for $11.99 with the promo code Otis, plus much, much more with this huge clearance sale at MyPillow. Go to the website MyPillow.com, click on the radio specials, use the promo code Otis, or use the telephone 800-598-4268. That's 800-598-4268. Up to 90% off at MyPillow right now if you use the promo code Otis.
For more than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in Western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
The Crude Life is sponsored in part by...
It takes an industry to build a forest. Hey folks, Jason Spies with The Crude Life. Did you know about half the trees planted in the last 20 to 30 years have died within the first year? Lack of watering, transplant shock, special interest groups, poor growing conditions are just a few reasons it takes an industry to build a forest, and that is exactly what the industrial forest does. Sustainability sheds, critical pipeline systems are implemented to ensure the forest survives and absorbs carbon for decades to come. It takes an industry to build a forest. If you're interested in sustainable forests, growing industry jobs, check out theindustrialforest.com. That's theindustrialforest.com.
The Crude Life with host Jason Spies.
Yeah, I mean, that's what love is. Like, that is
Yeah. Like
what things are.
Who am I that I would push back? Is that the loving thing you made a bit for me that I am?
People were saying on social media, how can you have a successful, after losing successfully or something? It was, successful loss, that was it. After a successful loss, that was what the word was. People were trolling me after my contradictory term, and I'm going, no, you can actually have a successful loss. It's called a moral victory. So, do we have moral victories anymore, or are we so hardwired that if we don't get the gold medal, it sucks, man? I guess.
Yeah, I think, for one, I tend to be skeptical of the term moral victory because it seems somewhat defeatist, right? It's like you're searching for something. And, you know, same thing, you're looking for a silver lining. Again, whether from a political standpoint, from a sports standpoint, it could sound a little bit like, well, gee, if you're my leader, I don't want you talking in those terms. Again, like we said before, I want to know what's next. You know, I want to know what the path forward is, how we can build upon things. I will say, however, Jason, that I am a fan of accentuating the positives, though. And I know it sounds the same, perhaps, but I think there is a distinction there. First, there's an acknowledgement that, yeah, there are positives, and you know, it's okay to emphasize them instead of just searching for a moral victory and trying to kid yourself into thinking that you, what did you say? You know, won by losing or whatever. So I guess from a sports
successful
standpoint.
Successful loss. There we go. It's a successful loss. See, I tripped myself up three times and I finally figured it out. But yeah, anyway, sorry.
here's what, I mean, from a practice, again, put on my engineering hat here. From a practical standpoint, one of the reasons that moral victories don't hold a lot of weight today is because we are in this, headline-driven world, right? This, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok world. And it could be very difficult for fans of any sort, again, whether it's an electorate or fans of a sports team or employees, it can be very difficult for fans to look at the long-term, vision, approach, progress. And so too for leaders, right? Because they're trying to adapt to their fan base. So they need to think short term. And so, you know, to say, you know, you have a moral victory, a lot of times that implies that there's going to be some long term gains. And again, last night, maybe the one silver lining for Republicans is that Ron DeSantis, again, did tremendously well in Florida. And people say, hey, you know, that there's reason for hope there. You can build upon that. It gives some sort of clarity to the future of the party. With Notre Dame, you know, when they lost early on to Marshall and got upset, you know, they were 20-point favorites. Again, it was tough to find a silver lining or a moral victory at the time. But you fast forward to today and you say, hey, wait a second. You know, this team probably is stronger because of it. Nobody wants to have those three losses now. But, you know, it kind of depends on your perspective. If you can look long term and you're a leader, coming back to how do you recover when you've dropped the ball, figuratively, it's having a clear long term vision that you can convey to people. The problem here today, Jason, and you know, this is the sort of the crux of what I do. Fueling sustainable leaders. That's the tagline for my business. The antithesis of sustainability is only relying on the short term. Hey, I either won or I lost, and that's it. And I'm going to hang my head if I lost, and not being able to translate those quote unquote moral victories or successful losses and see how they fit into the big picture. So again, it's a delicate balance at times, which. Many times in the world of coaching, it is a delicate balance, but by and large, that's the issue, Jason, is that we are in a world where a lot of people, just based on social media, based on how we ingest information, have a difficult time looking more than one game down the road, so to speak.
One of the issues I had in my former industry, well, I guess I'm currently in it, the media, okay, because the Crude Life, I guess, technically, and ESGU and the other platforms I'm a part of, those are technically media brands. We just happen to cover a specific industry. And we went through the newspaper paradigm shift about 10 years ago, 15 years ago, where the internet came in. The government really bailed out Google, Yahoo, Facebook, Twitter. A lot of those social media companies and platforms really got the lion's share of any sort of banking too big to fail money, I think was what was coming in at that time. And the newspapers kind of were left to fend for themselves. And one of the things the newspapers did was they focused on their printing press, because that is what they made their money on for years and years and 100 years. 100 years of newspaper had a monopoly. And when they focused on their printing press, they had to put a building around it. You had to have ink. You had to have an engineer. When you start doing the ESG kind of in a vacuum supply chain of the printing press, that's what's known as a sunk cost. When you start having to, you know, work for the printing press controls you. And now that's starting to happen in restaurants where the fryer and that big grill that they used to have. Well, now with a lot of these air fryers and the smoothies, and I mean, now you go to an airport, man, they got a whole restaurant in a kiosk now. So you're starting to see a little bit more flexibility with what these traditional sunk costs were. So organizations are having to think differently, but one of the first things they have to identify is a sunk cost. And in the newspaper industry, eventually they understood it was the printing press, and they had to either outsource it or do some sort of printing share thing, because that industry was going away. You know, and the travel agents, when the internet came away, boy, they went away overnight. So they had to go, their sunk cost was, well, them. So how do you identify what your sunk cost is, for example? Like, a lot of times it's an employee. And when an employee will not change, they become a sunk cost, because now they start requiring more investments in order to enable their bad behavior. And this can become very problematic inside of an organization. Joe Sinnott, it's very difficult to identify a human as a sunk cost, but if they're toxic in your organization, they can be just like what happened to the newspaper industry, and just like what happened to the housing industry, and just like what happened, you know, to the, what was the other industry I gave out? Oh, the restaurant industry, how that's starting to change. Talk to me a little bit about that when you've got toxic environments, when it is a sunk cost, and you really have to make some major changes because the sea of change is coming, whether you like it or not. Okay, there we go. That was a really long way to ask the question. Did you fall asleep, or are you still awake? Or
didn't fall asleep. In fact, again, it's an important question, and there's one.
Oh, and you know what? In sports, quarterback change. There. Done. One sentence.
There you go. Look, there's your parallels. Well, there you go. So a couple things on that. So whether it's a quarterback change or a toxic employee, one of the simplest approaches, Jason, is to ask the leader, ask the coach, if you will, hey, what would it feel like if this person were not your quarterback? Or what if this employee walked out the door tomorrow? You know, what would that look like? How would that feel? It's a super, super simple question, but it's one that a lot of people don't ask, or they only ask after lots of banging your head against the desk and hemming and hawing and making excuses one way or the other and going down the sunk cost approach, right? Well, this person has tons of experience or this or that, or, you know, just needs to grow or develop. Say, hold on, that's fine. We can analyze or overanalyze all you want, but let me just ask this right now. What would it be like if you benched that quarterback and brought the other one in today? How would you feel? It just changes the way that that person thinks, right? It gets them to envision life if that change were, you know, if they didn't have a choice, for example. You know, some quarterback unfortunately gets hurt and that person needs to trot in. How would it change the game? Same thing. If that toxic employee voluntarily, you know, hit the Powerball, hit the $2 billion Powerball jackpot from the other day and walked out the door, how would it feel?
To listen to the full-length interview, check out the website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Don't go anywhere, folks. We have more exclusive interviews and content coming right around the corner. My name is Jason Spies, and this is The Crude Life We Can Review.
Have a question? Know an expert? Or just want your voice heard? Email studio at thecrudelife.com. The Crude Life is sponsored in part by...
Who wants to save up to 90%? Well, you can at MyPillow right now for a limited time with their overstock sale. Get your holiday shopping done today with these incredible savings. Check it out. My slippers save $90 regularly, $139.98 on sale for $49.98 with the promo code Otis. Single bath towels save 50% with the promo code Otis. Women's sleep shirts regularly $59.98 on sale for $11.99 with the promo code Otis, plus much, much more with this huge clearance sale at MyPillow. Go to the website MyPillow.com, click on the radio specials, use the promo code Otis, or use the telephone 800-598-4268. That's 800-598-4268. Up to 90% off at MyPillow right now if you use the promo code Otis.
For more than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in Western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
The Crude Life is sponsored in part by...
It takes an industry to build a forest. Hey folks, Jason Spies with The Crude Life. Did you know about half the trees planted in the last 20 to 30 years have died within the first year? Lack of watering, transplant shock, special interest groups, poor growing conditions are just a few reasons it takes an industry to build a forest, and that is exactly what the industrial forest does. Sustainability sheds, critical pipeline systems are implemented to ensure the forest survives and absorbs carbon for decades to come. It takes an industry to build a forest. If you're interested in sustainable forests, growing industry jobs, check out theindustrialforest.com. That's theindustrialforest.com.
The Crude Life with host Jason Spies.
There's a lot of people running their mouth that don't stay the night, never come through town, and some other people running around.
This is Talk of the Town on a Wattage Wednesday. I'm Steve Bakken along with Jason Spies from The Crude Life. Catch The Crude Life each and every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. right here on Super Talk 1270. And we're talking with Jack Ekstrom, former principal at Policy Works America. Jason, I believe you were up with the next question. This economy, it's not sustainable with what's going on because it starts with energy, right?
No, and now that I've had a chance to cool down over the commercial break, I appreciate it because my question is quite simple that, you know, policy works. That's exactly right. When I look at security, whether it be my security or the American security, it all comes down to policy. And so when they start changing policy to be reactive, it's literally like putting another finger in the Hoover Dam. When I went down to the Hoover Dam, Jack, the great conversation I had at the little brewery there in Boulder Dam, was it Boulder Dam, Nevada, where the Hoover Dam is? Anyway, we had a great conversation about what that Hoover Dam did is showed American teamwork. And that's something that's missing with today's leadership. It just seems like it's a reactive game now. And I think that is one of our biggest American security energy problems. And that's partially part of the inflation issue, in my opinion. What is your thoughts on that, Jack?
I totally agree with you. I mean, the way the opposite sides have backed themselves into corners and there's a vast chasm between them. There is no middle ground anymore. It's either black or white. And the victims in that kind of conflict are the American people because
yes.
You have inflation caused by a pendulum swung entirely the wrong direction and spending and buying votes and we've got to fix this and people are entitled and all of these initiatives that actually lead nowhere, printing money. I recently posted something on my website about the national debt of $31 trillion, and it's the equivalent of $93,000 for every man, woman, and child in the country. And it's unsustainable. We have kicked this can down the road and kicked it down the road. We've kicked the energy can down the road. And you can't make these things happen out of thin air. There has to be real work, real effort. Somebody has to dig a hole. And the left hates that concept. You have to dig a hole. If you want a windmill, you're going to have to dig a hole and get the minerals out. If you want oil and gas, you're going to have to dig a well. You're going to have to drill a well and maybe do a 3-mile lateral in order to get the raw material out that drives our society. It's that simple. And when you decide that you don't want to do that, and that you decide that you want to print money in order to pay the bills, everybody suffers. I just did a piece on inflation, and the dollar today is worth, well, the dollar in 2010 was worth $1.37 in today's dollar. So the dollar is eroded by more than a third in just 12 years. That's scary. You cannot continue to do that. And this explanation that inflation is global, well, it started with the pandemic and it started here when we started printing money and everybody had to respond to that because we are the currency of record for the globe. It's tragic and it's totally unnecessary.
You know, Jack, from an inflation perspective, once we start getting into the very scary area of, wait a minute, it's that last mile. You talk to the railroads, the shipping companies, it's the last mile that matters. When we start looking and staring right in the face of diesel shortages, DEF fluid because of not being able to produce enough urea and food production because of lack of fertilizer, we're coming up against the wall very quick. We got about a minute left. What are your thoughts on that side, the supply chain side that energy policies are going to affect?
It's all local. I mean, you're absolutely right. It is that last mile, and that is the first domino that falls when you have this flawed policy coming down from the top. That first domino is going to be at the local level, and that's where people will feel it. It doesn't affect affect the guy in Washington, D.C., who's a bureaucrat. It doesn't affect somebody in state government. It affects their every single constituent at that last, the end of that last mile.
Jack, we're up against the break, and we'll have to have you on again. But I follow you on LinkedIn. If anybody wants to follow your blog or find out more, how do they do that?
www.policyworksamerica.com.
Thank you, Jack Ekstrom. Jack Ekstrom, former principal at PolicyWorks America. Jason Spies, of course, the Crude Life Sunday mornings. This has been Talk of the Town on a Wattage Wednesday on Super Talk 1270. Y'all be safe, my friends.
To listen to the full-length interview, check out the website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com.
That's going to do it for today's The Crude Life Week in Review. We will be back next week at this time on this radio station. We'd like to thank you once again for joining the conversation. All these exclusive interviews are available in their entirety at thecrudelife.com. From the staff here at The Crude Life Week in Review, my name is Jason Spies, asking each and every one of you to remember, we are all energy, and all energy has a purpose. With that, make it a fantastic day. Leave, but let the world
judge, 'cause they don't see 5,000. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for Elma Cook.
Loving you the way that I do, because you could love somebody like you. They say you're too damn small, and I won't pretend it don't matter at all. But no matter what the trouble ahead, I still won't regret this time that I spent. Sad to behold, nothing you could do would make me go. We'll let the world judge what they don't know. Giving me a heartbeat, making me never want to leave.
Who wants to save up to 90%? Well, you can at MyPillow right now for a limited time with their overstock sale. Get your holiday shopping done today with these incredible savings. Check it out. My slippers save $90 regularly, $139.98 on sale for $49.98 with the promo code Otis. Single bath towels save 50% with the promo code Otis. Women's sleep shirts regularly $59.98 on sale for $11.99 with the promo code Otis, plus much more with this huge clearance sale at MyPillow. Go to the website MyPillow.com, click on the radio specials, use the promo code Otis, or use the telephone 800-598-4268. That's 800-598-4268. Up to 90% off at MyPillow right now if you use the promo code Otis.
For more than 100 years, First International Bank and Trust has been headquartered in Western North Dakota, home of the Bakken. Our proven record of mineral management, appraisal, and brokerage services is now enhanced by the only Bakken-specific software, Mineral Tracker. Trust First International Mineral and Land Services and Mineral Tracker to protect your interests and help build and preserve a financial legacy for generations to come.
The Crude Life is sponsored in part by...
It takes an industry to build a forest. Hey folks, Jason Spies with The Crude Life. Did you know about half the trees planted in the last 20 to 30 years have died within the first year? Lack of watering, transplant shock, special interest groups, poor growing conditions are just a few reasons it takes an industry to build a forest, and that is exactly what the industrial forest does. Sustainability sheds, critical pipeline systems are implemented to ensure the forest survives and absorbs carbon for decades to come. It takes an industry to build a forest. If you're interested in sustainable forests, growing industry jobs, check out theindustrialforest.com. That's theindustrialforest.com.